It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking. Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It's Friday, September 12th. It's hour number two. It's time for the High Noon Showdown, and we had a little bit of a phone snafu over the break. We got our caller on line one back in Dustin. Welcome into the show, Dustin. We're also waiting for Matt to give us a call back. Matt, I don't know if you know, but you were disconnected. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to dial us up and retain your spot in today's High Noon Showdown. Apologies if our phone lines may have hung up on you. 605-362-3776 is the number to dial, Matt. So I'll give you about 30 seconds here to claim your spot here on the show and the High Noon Showdown. If not, going to have to give it away to another person who would like to beat up their neighbor for a gigantically cool prize pack, including some Jason Aldean tickets. That concert is right around the corner. Let me reach over here real quick. The Jason Aldean concert at the Premier Center, Saturday, September 20th, 7:30, the start time. And again, if you'd like to go, dial me up. Matt, last chance here, my friend, 605-362-3776. I had Matt on the line, got disconnected. Dustin is the competition. He's on line number one, sitting, waiting, and wishing patiently. Matt, last chance here, 605-362-3776. And away we go. I'm going to open up the lines now. Anybody else that wants in, chance to win some Jason Aldean tickets and more with the High Noon Showdown, dial me up, 605-362-3776. Dustin's on the line. His questions are going to be coming from List A. Still need another competitor, 605-362-3776. Or I tell you what, if I don't get a competitor, we're going to just give the prize pack to Dustin, and I am not in the business of handouts, people. That would be pretty sweet for Dustin. There we go, line two. Thanks for the call. Welcome into the show. What's your name?
Vance,
I appreciate the call. Vance, are you ready to dance, Vance, around the ring and possibly beat up Dustin in the High Noon Showdown?
We'll give it a shot.
We'll give it a shot. I like the attitude, my friend. It is time for this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown, always brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats.
Put 'em up. Put 'em up.
Are you out of your mind? Because we could go to war. I'm for real. I'm for real. So you better check yourself.
Doesn't have to be a fight in the parking lot, although we'd love to see that, actually. It's time to duke it out in this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown.
All right, button it up. We're ready to go. Dustin and Vance are competitors today. Dustin up first. First crack of the bat, the High Noon Showdown brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats. Get out there, check out their great selection to elevate your grill game out there on the east side of Sioux Falls. Dustin, he had quite a game last night. What jersey number does Packer quarterback Jordan Love wear? What do you think, Dustin?
I'm going to go 10.
10 is correct for Jordan Love. Back on hold you go. Good start, buddy. Over to line number two we go. Vance, he's been a terror, a nightmare since joining Green Bay in every stretch of the imagination. Jersey number for Micah Parsons in Titletown. What do you think?
Uno, one.
You got it right in both languages, my friend. Vance, back to you again. College, you got to know the teams you go up against. I don't know if you're a fan of the Minnesota Vikings, but they got the Atlanta Falcons coming into town this weekend. What college did Falcon wide receiver Drake London go to?
Drake London. Having a clue.
That's going to be a no.
Florida.
For Vance. It was USC. Not correct there. Vance is one for two. Back on hold. He goes over to Dustin. Another player for the Atlanta Falcons. Tight end Kyle Pitts. Dustin, where did he play college ball?
Kyle Pitts, Florida
is correct. And here you go. You can slam the door, stub the toe, maybe rip off a toenail if you want to, Vance. If you get this right, a random question. Give me the team nickname, team mascot for Indiana State University. What do you think?
Ooh.
Need an answer from you, Dustin.
That one I don't know.
You do not know the trees known as the sycamores of Indiana State. Over to line number two we go. Vance, they're out to a great start. Give me the team nickname or the mascot of South Florida University. What do you think?
They are the Bulls.
They are the Bulls. You get your first crack of the bat with overtime. Vance, here you go. You got to pay attention in the sports world. J.J. McCarthy had a pretty solid opener. Electric fourth quarter for the Minnesota Vikings. Today's overtime question, how many passing yards did J.J. McCarthy have in his week one debut for Minnesota? What do you think? What's your best guess?
225.
On hold you go. Over to Dustin. Dustin, going over or under 225. What do you think?
Sorry, I didn't catch the beginning of that.
All right. J.J. McCarthy passing yards in his week one debut. What's your guess there?
Oh, he went under.
Under 225. Do you have a guess for me?
You said week one?
Yeah, week one in the win over Chicago.
Yeah, I was at the game. I'm thinking it was 149.
149, pretty darn close. You're our winner, Dustin. It was 143. Not great through three quarters. Great in the fourth. Dustin, you did just enough, my friend. Job well done. You're the winner of the High Noon Showdown. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, great stuff there for Dustin. I got your information for you. Prize pack at the front desk. Vance, that was a pretty darn good effort, my friend. Call back next week for an opportunity to win big with the High Noon Showdown. The Packers won big last night. That's where we start on our scorecard. Green Bay, much better than the Commanders last night. 27-18. Jordan Love, 292 passing yards, two touchdowns, and a career night at all levels for Packer tight end Tucker Kraft, who, according to him, has never had an 100-yard receiving game in any level of football. Here's Matt LaFleur talking about Tucker Kraft and his growth in Green Bay.
He's a guy that approaches the game the right way. I can't say enough great things about Tuck and just the growth that we've seen from him from the time he's gotten here. But it's not only on the football field, it's every facet of life, I would say. And he's a real leader for us.
It certainly is. Tucker Kraft, six catches, 124 yards, and a score. Green Bay, 27-18 winners against D.C. last night on Thursday Night Football. Matt LaFleur, broader on the win last night for the Packers.
All in all, I thought we were in control of the football game. For the majority of the game, we just got to, there was a lot of mistakes out there that we have got to clean up between penalties, some miscues, some misops. But you got to give credit to Washington. That's a really good football team. Overall, I was impressed with our defense, the energy they're playing with, getting a lot of pressure on a really good quarterback. It seemed like they were hitting them quite a bit.
And certainly a big win for the Green Bay Packers. 2-0, first 2-0 team in the NFL this year. Jaden Reed did go down last night. He's got a broken collarbone. Austin Eckler, the running back for D.C., looked very much like he tore his Achilles up last night. Not official yet, but it was confirmed to be an Achilles injury. And the Packer defense hurt a lot of feelings and shut down one of the game's more exciting offenses last night. Here's LaFleur talking about some adjectives to describe his newly inspired and Micah Parsons injected defense.
Relentless. Just physical, aggressive, attacking. The play style is exactly what we want from these guys, and it always starts with the energy and effort. That's gonna get you through and can overcome for some of the mistakes. So I just thought, like, I think our front is extremely disruptive, getting after the quarterback. It didn't seem like they ran the ball very effectively at all either. So, you know, I think Half's done a hell of a job. I think our players are doing a great job feeding off one another. And it's definitely exciting to watch our defense go out there and perform, because I think they allow us to get up on somebody.
Speaking of that defense, let's hear from Micah Parsons, who has been a big-time disruptor and an energetic enforcer on the Packer defense. Here's what he had to say about the defense taking a even bigger step to get better in the weeks to come.
Just because we came out and did it again, play consistent, We gave them some things that we didn't want to, more points than we wanted to. But, you know, we made them earn everything. And that's just important. No big plays. We made them earn everything. And that's the good part.
On the other side of the football field last night was the Washington Commanders. Quarterback Jaden Daniels certainly hung in there, took hit after hit after hit, was not able to escape the pocket often at all, and didn't have a lot of success rushing the football last night. And here's Daniels postgame talking about what was so frustrating about Green Bay.
They're, like I said, they executed their scheme, whatever it was. They executed really well because they won the game. And we just didn't make plays. Starts with me, starts with everybody up front, starts with the whole offensive skill group. So it's not pointing the finger at anybody. You know, collectively, we're all to blame, and we'll get back to work.
And again, this is what we do in the sports world. We overreact to ball games. The Packers are Super Bowl favorites. They're going all the way. They're the biggest threat to Philadelphia. That's fine. You can have those opinions today if you'd like to. I'm going to choose to stay relatively level-headed. And on the other side, the Washington Commanders. Was last night a bad night, or is this setting up a bad season? Here's Harry Douglas.
I'm going to go with a bad night. You got to give the Packers and their defense a lot of credit.
Right.
But I did not like how the wide receivers could not get open versus the secondary. And the front seven of the Green Bay Packers, they had a lot to say about that as well. But why are you going to Noah Brown majority of the times on third downs and not Terry McLaurin?
Mm-hmm.
Why on a fourth and four play are you going to Jalen Lane, who is a rookie wide receiver? Why is Terry McLaurin not in the ballgame? So a few of those things I'm questioning. And it's not like Terry McLaurin, he was going to a lot in week one. What is the discourse there right now? Are they trying to see if other guys can step up and make plays? Well, I'm not trying to see that if I just gave a person an extended contract.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get Terry McLaurin the football as much as possible.
It was a frustrating night last night. Zach Ertz certainly got his late in the game, including a nice touchdown where he juked Quay Walker out of his shoes. But other than that, the D.C. Commanders, not a whole lot of success offensively. And the big stat I told you about in hour number one is the Packer defense is allowed less than 100 yards rushing through two games. They've allowed a total of 31 points through two games, and they've allowed just 2.3 yards per carry to David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, and, of course, the electrifying quarterback Jaden Daniels in D.C. through two contests. If that's not enough Packer fluff for you, here you go. Let it rip. Peter Schrager at ESPN.
I don't know if a team could have had a better five-day stretch in an entire NFL season than what we have seen from the Green Bay Packers. What they have done now to the Lions and the Commanders, two teams who are one, the number one offense in the league a year ago, number one seed in the NFC, and then two, a team in the NFC championship game, and absolutely silenced them. Both those teams averaged close to 30 points per game last year. Total, they've had 31 in their first two games, and two of the best running teams in the NFL were held under 100 yards total. The Packers defense is for real, and if you're an Eagles fan waking up this morning, this might be the guys that you have to worry about in the NFC.
And certainly a lot of fans out there sitting, waiting, and hoping for a team to come on and knock off the Green Bay Packers. And if you're looking into that sort of thing, marquee matchups with the Packers and their defense, they will meet the Philadelphia Eagles in Lambeau. That's going to be a Monday Night Football matchup on Monday, November 10th. And the Vikings and Packers will not meet until November 23rd. And they'll also meet in the final week of the regular season. And again, lot of football to be played between now and then, but that could be a massive game in the regular season finale between Minnesota and Green Bay. Let's move forward now. This weekend of the NFL, Sunday, Bears and Lions, noon on Fox. Broncos at the Colts, 3:05 on CBS this weekend. Eagles and the Chiefs, 3:25 on Fox, where Philadelphia favored on the road by 1.5 points. Sunday Night Football, Falcons at Vikings, 7:20. And Monday Night Football doubleheader, Bucks at Texans, Chargers at Raiders over the weekend. Rounding out the scorecard, NASCAR race this weekend is at Bristol Motor Speedway, Saturday, 6:30 on USA. WNBA concluded the regular season last night. Here are your playoff series that begin on Sunday. Valkyries at the Lynx, Fever at the Dream, Fever Dream, Liberty at Mercury, Storm at the Aces, and the first round is a best of three, 1-1-1 format, and for the first time, the WNBA Finals will expand to a best of seven series this year. College football last night, one game at the FBS level, and it was out of the ACC, where NC State finds a way to get the job done against Wake Forest. 10-point road win in Winston-Salem, 34-24. Get to know the name, fun name to say, Hollywood Smothers, the running back for the Wolfpack. 24 carries, 164 on the ground last night. Tonight, couple good games on the way. Colorado at Houston, that gets going at 6:30 on ESPN. said, Kansas State at Arizona, 8 o'clock on Fox. Saturday, Nebraska home to Houston Christian at 11 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. South Dakota opens up the home portion of their schedule at Northern Colorado, 1 o'clock on ESPN+. Plus, USF and Augie are on the road, respectively, against Bemidji State and UMary, 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, respectively. Iowa State at Arkansas State, 3 o'clock. Drake at South Dakota State, 6 o'clock. Iowa home to UMass at 6:30. And Minnesota out in sunshiny California to battle the Golden Bears, 9:30. On ESPN. Notre Dame is out to an 0-1 start. What if they lose to Texas A&M this weekend? Does that slam the door on their CFP chances? Here's Nicole Auerbach.
If you look at the rest of their schedule, you know, you just don't have a ton of heavy hitters. I just wonder how a two-loss schedule with the losses being to the best teams on there, you know, you really need USC to be good. So you need like a couple of these games remaining to look better than maybe they do on paper at this point. It's just going to be tough. I think Notre Dame has a path every single year with one loss. And we saw that it wasn't even close, right? They got to host a game in the first round. But with two losses, you'd have to show that you've really grown from who you were at the beginning of the year, which makes sense. You know, they got a lot of new starters, new quarterback. But I think it would be really, really tough. I think in all of my, you know, conversations about Notre Dame going into the season, the idea, the baseline was at least splitting these first two games with Miami and A&M. Not to say they can't have a great season, be a factor, but I do think the playoff would be an uphill battle.
And it might be. We'll see. But last year, Notre Dame got to the playoff, got a ticket to the dance, a home game after losing to Northern Illinois. Respect included to the Huskies and their fan base. That's a MAC school. They're now a Mountain West school. And that was not a caliber of loss that was good by any stretch of the imagination for the Fighting Irish. They go 11-1, get a ticket to the dance, and go all the way to the national championship game. This year, likely, even if they lose coming up Saturday, they could likely go 10-2. They've got Purdue, Arkansas, Boise, which is down, NC State, 3-0 so far. We'll see. USC, don't really know. At Boston College, Navy, Pitt, Syracuse, Stanford. Far from inspiring schedule, but I'll say it now on the show, and I'm happy to retain the audio for you if I'm wrong. Notre Dame goes 10-2 with losses to two ranked opponents out of the chute. I think they get in. I really do. I don't care about the strength of schedule. 10 wins versus an SEC school, ACC school, Big 10, Big 12 school that's 8-4 with a couple losses to unranked opponents. I think you put Notre Dame in, just 10 losses and two ranked losses would probably be good enough because they're Notre Dame, and that's the way things go in college football. That's it for college football for now. South Dakota high school football tonight. Lincoln and Roosevelt, a 5 o'clock kick time from Howard Wood Field. Later on this evening, Washington and Jefferson at 7:30. Other area teams in action tonight. Huron in town to Battle T at 6 o'clock. Sioux Falls Christian playing host to Lenox at 7. And Sioux Falls Lutheran at Arlington, a 7 o'clock kick time. And on Saturday, Harrisburg and Rapid City Central, 3 o'clock. Brandon Valley visiting O'Gorman Saturday night at 7 at McEnany Field there on 41st Street. Let's dive right into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. College football previews, the topic du jour right now. Second-ranked South Dakota State returns home on Saturday for a Beef Bowl matchup against the Drake Bulldogs. Kickoff for the sold-out game is set for 6 o'clock Central, Dana J. Dykhouse Stadium. And for those of you planning to go for the barbecue, the Beef Bowl barbecue running from 3:30 till 5:30. Tickets are $12 each, and where that is the tented tailgating area directly north of the Sanford Jackrabbit Athletic Complex. Jackrabbits are 2-0. Drake is a 1-0 team coming into the ball game. A 41-7 home victory over Upper Iowa. The Peacocks in the opener. A little bit of a different brand of football. South Dakota State should win and win big. Beef Bowl coming up on Saturday. A big game in the series, game number 15, and the fifth time in 9 seasons that the Jacks have met Drake on the gridiron. Drake actually holds an 8-6 advantage in the series that dates all the way back to 1983. Series dormant, 33 years, dating back quite a ways deeper than that for the Jackrabbits and the Drake Bulldogs. The University of Sioux Falls football team is unblemished 2-0. They'll hit the road for the first time in NSIC play as the Cougars travel to Bemidji, Minnesota to take on the 0-2 surprising Beavers on Saturday. Kickoff 1 o'clock at Chet Anderson Stadium. Saturday's matchup, the 9th all-time meeting between the two programs. Most recent, a 28-24 win in Sioux Falls for Bemidji last year. The series has been very competitive dating back to 82, just the ninth all-time meeting, but it's tied 4-4 through those eight meetings thus far. That game, a 1 o'clock go time. The two-time reigning NSIC champion and 11th-rated Augustana Viking football team opens their road slate of the season on Saturday. It's the only 2 o'clock kickoff on the schedule as they travel up to Bismarck for a date with the U Mary Marauders. You can listen to the game if you're not making the trip up on 100.1 FM KXRB. U Mary 1-1. A loss to Wayne State last weekend. They got a pair of pass catchers with at least 150 yards in the air. Luke Bodine and Carson Jablonski helped lead an aerial attack that averages 273 passing yards a game. UMary was picked to finish 12th in the NSIC preseason poll, Augie 2nd. They collide 2 o'clock on Saturday. KXRB 100.1 FM for your radio coverage. And lastly, 12th-rated South Dakota, 0-2 the record, welcoming former NC, our North Central Conference foe, Northern Colorado, to the Dakota Dome on Saturday to open the home slate in a battle between the Big Sky and the Missouri Valley Football Conference. It's a big contest. It's a home opener and a whiteout. South Dakota in their 130th season of college football, 78-20-2 in home openers dating back to 1922. And unfortunately, I hate to share this news with you today. If you haven't seen it yet, Yote fans, I got to do it. I got to keep you updated on your squad, but it is not good news for the running backfield, in particular losing preseason All-American, MVFC Offensive Player of the Year last year, Charles Pierre Jr. is out for the season. The tremendous running back, first 1,000-yard rusher in program history in this D1 era. And on Thursday, he posted to Instagram that he announced he'll miss the remainder of the season with a knee injury. 1,000-yard back last year in the Yotes and a first-team All-Conference selection. Charles Pierre Jr. going to be missed a ton and a phenomenal playmaker in person, a guy that we had an opportunity to meet here in Sioux Falls for MVFC Media Days, going to be out the rest of the way. And where do they go from here? The only good news, the silver lining, is the Yotes are prepared. They've got other backs in the fold. LJ Phillips Jr. is a familiar name. He ran for .176 and 2 scores a year ago. And then Texas transfer Reed Watkins, who was recently the subject of one of those scholarship videos, recently got a scholarship down in Vermilion. He's a playmaker. He could be a little Travis Tice to the Charles Pierre that we're missing so much down in Vermilion these days. LJ Phillips Jr., Reed Watkins, the two names to know to start to replace Charles Pierre Jr. in that backfield in the aggregate. But again, phenomenal player, phenomenal person, will be out the remainder of the season at USD. And those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day here on a Friday. When we come back, all things NFL all the time. More Packer praise. Leave me alone. They're the topic of the day in the NFL. Green Bay looking pretty darn good. Micah Parsons making all the difference. Is he padding the stat sheets? No. Is he inspiring his teammates? Yes. Is there a nasty edge to the Packer defense? Yes, there is. It's the meanest defense I've seen in a very, very long time. I'm not ready to make any bold proclamation declarations, but I will tell you this. This team is nasty. They're good and they're very, very hungry. Green Bay 2-0. We talk Packers and a weekend preview in the NFL coming up next on this Friday edition of Overtime right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
ESPN Sioux Falls gets you back to more of Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Welcome back to Overtime. Still to come on today's show, best bets for your weekend. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports set to join us here in about 15 minutes on today's program. Let's dive right in, though. I know it's been a show of Packer praise, but I try to be fair to you Viking fans out there. I fluffed up McCarthy earlier in the week talking about the phenomenal performance on Monday Night Football. That was impressive, and the Packers are also out to an impressive start, and a lot of that has to do with Micah Parsons. For a team long known for its quarterback play and high-powered offenses, it hasn't taken the Green Bay Packers long to forge a defensive identity And it's happened in just two games. The reason, according to veteran cornerback Keyshawn Nixon, who had five PBUs last night, is singular. We got Micah Parsons, Nixon said after Thursday's most recent win over the Commanders at Lambeau Field, 27-18. Parsons did his part last night, pressuring Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels six times on 32 rushes. And on those plays, Daniels completed just one of three passes for 9 yards and two scrambles for 9 yards and was also brought down via sack once, a shared sack between Parsons and linebacker Edgerrin Cooper. Packers are 2-0, and for the first time since the 1995 season, they gave up fewer than 250 yards in each of their first two games of the season. And this is not a slouch. This is not teams that are missing critical players. There's not a whole lot of excuses here other than Green Bay's found a new identity. They've hit the ground running. They look really darn good. Is it going to sustain throughout the year? Probably not. Green Bay will have hiccups here and there. Are they going to be a playoff team? Probably so. But Green Bay is reinventing themselves. The defense is as good as it pretty much has ever been in Green Bay through two games. It's two games, limited sample size. They got the Browns. They got the Cowboys in week three and week four. And then they'll have a bye week. And we'll see where they're sitting there. We'll talk about crowning them. You want to crown them, then crown them. Denny Green, but we can talk about the Packers then and throughout the season. I'm going to do my best to not overreact to how Green Bay looks, but I will tell you honestly, I'm excited. I'm fired up for my team. 2-0 the start for Green Bay, and a lot of that has to do with one Micah Parsons. Elsewhere, let's talk a little bit more about the wake of the ball game for DC and Green Bay. The Packers are going to lose wide receiver Jaden Reed for quite some time. He's going to miss a lot of time, according to Coach Matt LaFleur. We'll see how fast he can recover and heal, and I certainly would expect him back at some point this season. That's good news, but he broke his collarbone last night early on the opening drive of the Packers' ultimate win, and certainly we'll see on Jaden Reed. Looks like he'll be back at some point. Don't know if that means postseason, late regular season, if this is going to be an IR stint designated to return, or what the Packers end up doing here with Jaden Reed. And if you recall, Reed is already dealing with a Jones fracture in his left foot, which is that final digit out there in your pinky toe. Painful stuff, apparently. He was already dealing with that. He's got a collarbone break now. I don't know what the best plan is. Green Bay is typically extraordinarily conservative with injuries. Might be on the shelf for a long time or the remainder of the regular season. Possible IR stint that would end his season as well. I'm not throwing that out, but Matt LaFleur saying I certainly would expect him back at some point this season. Well, Washington somehow is even more dinged up today. They lost Austin Eckler, the running back, the veteran, tore his right Achilles in the fourth quarter of last night's loss to Green Bay. The 30-year-old needs to undergo imaging that is scheduled today for confirmation. Head coach Dan Quinn saying about a potential season-ending loss, that will be significant. Excuse me, the fear. It's not confirmed yet. The fear of a torn right Achilles. That's the article at ESPN.com. He provides a lot of unique things for us, according to Dan Quinn, Commanders head coach. And that is not where the list ends, unfortunately. Commanders' new coming pass rusher, Dietrich Wise, has a quad injury that is also reported to be season-ending. According to Adam Schefter, this news breaking just moments ago. Wise suffering the injury on Green Bay's extra point attempt with 7.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Became emotional on the ground as teammates took a knee on the field, and Dietrich Wise out for the season as well. Austin Eckler not confirmed, but a pair of starters perhaps out for the year for DC in the wake of last night's loss. And the Miami Dolphins are galvanized and they're tough and they're ready to go because they are already holding a players-only meeting after just 1 week. That's how crazy things are down there in South Beach. Miami holding a players-only meeting at the team's off day on Tuesday in the wake of an embarrassing opening season loss to the Colts in week one to make sure they remain, quote, on the same page. Sunday marked one of Tua Tagovailoa's worst games, completing 14 of 23 passes for 114 yards and a touchdown, but he threw two interceptions and lost a fumble while also posting the worst full game passer rating of his career. That's the latest there from Tua, and certainly Tua talking about the team meeting. I got the offense together. We had a meeting about things we wanted to do to hang our hats on this week, points of emphasis, and how we want to go about it this week. We got all that communicated to those guys, so that's what we've got. Things are a mess down there in South Beach. Personal opinion, I don't know how it gets better. The mix there doesn't feel right. The coaching staff doesn't feel right in relation to respect and the overall growth of the team these days. I'm not sure, but it just doesn't feel right down in Miami, especially a players-only meeting held earlier in this week on a Tuesday. And Miami will have a matchup coming up this weekend as they will see a division rival, the New England Patriots, noon on CBS at home at Hard Rock Stadium. Lastly, from the news cycle in the NFL, bold last words from a Browns defensive back. Nearly a year after knocking Derrick Henry to the ground with a big hit, Browns safety Grant Delpit delivered another shot at the Baltimore Ravens star, and Henry has taken notice. As of yesterday, he was asked how hard it is to bring down the 6'3", 252-pound Henry. Delpit quickly replied, "Not hard." Henry responded to Delpit later Thursday afternoon, saying he was aware of Delpit's comment. He had a quote, "We'll see on Sunday," which gets me to a hypothetical here. If you were asked a question here, you had no option to back out. Would you like to potentially score a 3-yard touchdown and run past Micah Parsons or any premier defender in the NFL and take that hit and get absolutely obliterated out of your shoes? Would you prefer that? Or would you prefer, hey, here comes Derrick Henry. He's going to run from the 20-yard line, and you have to try to tackle him. Which would you choose? Because to me, I'm probably going to choose to just go ahead and be put to sleep by a defender in the NFL and absolutely pummeled as a ball carrier, and that'll be fun and good. I can write it off. Derrick Henry, I don't think, is something I could recover from getting run over by that dude. He's different. He's fast. He's huge. He's muscular, and he can make you miss. And I think Grant Delpit and the Browns are in for it in a lopsided spread, biggest spread of the weekend coming up, and that has grown to 11.5 points. Baltimore at home, they're 0-1, ticked off after an embarrassing gaffe late in the game that cost them a big blown lead, 15 points in Buffalo to start out the season saying, we're here, we're ready to rumble, we're the best team in the AFC, and they blew it. They're hungry, they're ticked off, and they got the Browns, a team that has nothing offensively and does have some strength and some stamina and some playmakers on defense to give them credit. This game, I don't think, will be close. And I think that Derrick Henry might bring a little extra juice to the hole this year for Grant Delpit and others on that Brown defense. I can't wait to watch it. And that is going to be my game to watch in the early window because there's not a whole lot of really great ball games. You got the Bears and the Lions. I'll tune in for that. Patriots, Dolphins. That'll be a mix and a muddy one in the bottom of that division. 49ers and Saints. It's backup quarterbacks going at it there in week two. No thank you. Bills and Jets. Mixed bag. Probably the Bills. Seahawks, Steelers, a maybe. But the Browns and Ravens. Good rivalry. And that smack talk to me, fuel to the fire for a big game coming up on Sunday for Derrick Henry, who ran 18 times for $169 in the opener. Did have a costly fumble. Well, that dude just built different. And then the afternoon slate has three really good games. Broncos at the Colts. We'll see who's for real, who's fake in there, and certainly sound the panic alarm if Denver loses that game. Panthers at Cardinals, that'll be entertaining. Regardless of the state of those franchises, that'll be an entertaining game. And then the big one, the Eagles and the Chiefs, which I told you earlier on in the show, Chiefs are going to win. They're going to win that game because that's what they do. I think they know when to take care of business, know when to strap it up and go to war, and they did not live up to expectations overseas. Tough place to play, tough travel, tough road trip, tough air trip down to Sao Paulo. They're back in town. They're at home. They got Philly, and the Chiefs suddenly are a little bit desperate. I think that when that team gets desperate, they know how to carry themselves. We'll see. Eagles and Chiefs, 325. Falcons and Vikings will be a great matchup on Sunday Night Football, and that's just a little taste of the weekend. How about best bets for your weekend? Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? We'll get the take of a pro coming up next. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. You can find him and the record and the picks at ParamountSports.com. There's always a game of the week. We find that out and so much more coming up next. Lee Sterling, our guest, to finish up the day and the week of overtime right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
Get ESPN with the free app and online. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
There's only one way to get you prepared to dive into a weekend of football. That is by welcoming our friend Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports back to the ESPN hotline. Lee, welcome back. Another week, my friend. A big weekend ahead. How about my Green Bay Packers last night, man? How you doing?
How about them Packers? Oh, sorry. Wrong team, but let me tell you something. They look great the first 2 weeks. How about this? Here's something associated with gambling. Couple points. Jordan Love gone from 25-1 as far as to win the MVP. He is now sitting at 8-1. He's the third favorite after Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. So he's not really a dark horse anymore.
Not at all. And one team that was a little bit of a dark horse, the much maligned program, not really, but these directional schools in Florida, I don't get the love that Miami, Florida State get. USF Bowl football, they're 2-0 with a couple marquee wins. They got a big game this weekend. Are they for real, and what do you think about their matchup coming up this weekend?
Okay, so when I first saw this line, I thought it was going to be like 12.5, 13 tops. It's up to 17.5. I see an 18 out there. So most people will be like, oh, my! I have to grab all these points. Well, studying the game, notice South Florida doesn't get pressure on the quarterback. In fact, they only had three defensive pressures in the Florida game, none from a defensive line. They had to get pressure from linebackers and cornerbacks and safeties. And they, how they won a game with getting no pressure on the quarterback is shocking. Carson Beck, believe it or not, has 484 quarterbacks have taken qualifying snaps since he took his first starting snap. These are starters in games since he took his first snaps at Georgia. He's number 6 in passer rating since he took his first snap with a clean pocket. This is a bad matchup for South Florida. I don't know how much they have left in the tank after those two games. Their quarterback, Byron Brown, good, but he's run the ball 14 and 17 times. Miami saw him last year. You know, it was tight for a while, and then Miami pulled away, went 50-15. So they're not going to be a sleeper anymore. I think Carson Beck's going to cook here. So under the radar still, and still no one's talking about him. It's a top 10 pick. 2 years ago, everyone thought he was possibly the consensus number one guy. Carson Beck cooks. Miami 34-14.
That'll put a little bit of a damper on the big hype there from the Tampa area on USF. Let's talk about the Gophers in California. This game is late on Saturday night, 9:30 local start time on ESPN. Minnesota is a 1.5-point favorite. The Gophers, pretty good football team, really electrifying playmaker in Coy Parrish. What do you think about their chances against Cal?
I can't pronounce this guy's name, Cal. Quarterback? Hearing something like Kiwi Sagapalotti. I don't know.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
He's a lefty, not rangy at all, not real tall, but really good with play action. And I think there's a reason why they did not go after a transfer portal quarterback. So I think that they found the right guy for their offense. Chains used to do a lot more drop back passing last year. Late game here, and Cal's a tough place to play. Talked to a bunch of Miami fans who went out there last year and said they were shocked how, you know, they were usually hugging trees and, you know, doing all kinds of stuff, not making it into the game before the game. But now it's become like a thing with these students and also the fans out there. So, you know what? I think Cal's the right side here. Teams traveling back and forth at least two time zones had trouble so far. First couple years, they've added these teams from the left coast. So we're going to go with Cal here. Should be a fun game, though,
27-24. Game number two, Notre Dame looking to stave off a possible 0-2 start. They got ranked Texas A&M. Irish favored by a touchdown. Are they going to go 0-2? I don't buy it. What do you think?
I don't think so either. I think the bye is really helpful. I can't remember a team that played one game and all of a sudden had a bye, but that will help them as far as game planning. You know, the quarterback, C.J. Carr, the moment was not too big for him when they played Miami. Very impressed with him. Led his team back from 14 points down. I mean, they had a chance to win the game if they would have stopped Miami, and Miami misses that field goal. So I think this is just as good a team as last year. They held a vaunted Miami, really good offensive line, top five offensive line, trio of good backs to 3.5 yards per carry. I'm just not sold on Marcel Reed. You know, he's he's okay. He makes plays, runs a little, passes a little, and two games. He wasn't the starter until the fourth game last year. He only faced two tough defenses, Texas and South Carolina. He wasn't very good in either game here. Texas A&M needs a defining victory. They haven't gotten it from their program ever. Notre Dame, if they lose this game, I think they're out, because I don't think two losses will get you in this year with a weak schedule and how strong the SEC looks. So I think Notre Dame's the right side, 30-17.
I've got a really strong opinion on this next one. Wisconsin and Alabama. I said earlier in the show, you got to know your team. And this year, I'm fine to beat my chest with how great the Packers are, and I'm fine to cry into my pillow with how bad the Badgers are this year. 20 points at Alabama. I feel like this is a circle on Bama. They've got a little bit of questions, some health concerns at receiver, but they, to me, feel like the better side, even with laying 20 points. What do you think in Tuscaloosa this weekend?
I think they've got enough pretty good backups there. So, you know, we used to know this Wisconsin Badger team. They were a team that was a classic power team. They would put one or two offensive linemen, would go in the first or second round of the draft. They always had one or two running backs, someone who was really good and someone waiting in the wings. I just don't see it. And, you know, Billy Edwards is going to be the guy. He's hurt. Now it's probably Danny O'Neill. Mm-hmm. He didn't play well, threw two interceptions in the last game. Playing on the road, I mean, I thought Alabama actually got pretty lucky last year to get the cover. Obviously, the injury to Tyler Van Dyke early in that game, I thought, swung the game. But I just think that they've got to win, and they got to win big. I mean, they are on them left and right. They beat Louisiana Monroe High School last weekend, 73-0, and it's done nothing. The press conferences, they are brutal going after the coaching staff. So I like Alabama here. I think they're the right side, 38-10.
38-10, I co-sign on that. Again, putting the bad in Badgers this year. Over to the NFL, Broncos did not look stellar. Bo Nix turned it over, I think, three times in the opener. They'll see. Suddenly, Daniel Jones is decent again. We'll see. Indianapolis going to be the host here. Denver laying 2.5. Give me your best bet for that one.
I don't see Denver turning the ball over four times like last game. I think it's been something like 17, 18 years where a team was -4 in turnover ratio compared to the other team, and they won the game. I mean, crazy. And they still didn't even win for it. 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2 from the 47-yard line early in the fourth quarter. This defense is good. Top three in the NFL, in my opinion. Bo Nix isn't going to be this bad. He only threw for 4.4 yards per attempt last week. Just one of those rare bad games here. I like Denver here. Indy, they got to face the Miami pass defense. Miami's top six cornerbacks, I don't know if any of them would make any roster, any active roster in the NFL. Maybe the worst set of cornerbacks I've seen since the merger, and I've graded players since 1970. I like Denver here. 24-17.
And again, you know your audience. You got a lot of Viking fans listening here intently for Sunday Night Football. Home opener, Thielen's back, and a lot of hype around J.J. McCarthy, the way he finished Monday Night Football. Pretty inspiring. Minnesota is laying 4.5 against Atlanta. Where do you go on that one? Big game for Sunday night.
It is, and I think it's going to be a fun game. You know, Michael Penix might be that quarterback that every game almost comes down to the last possession. So you got to give Minnesota credit. I mean, they were out of the game for three quarters, and then the missed field goal changed things. They got a good field position, and that's a mark of a really good team. So I think they made the right decision going with him. I wouldn't have paid Sam Darnold all that money for a guy that had a career year. But Michael Penix, just there's something about the guy. Problem with Atlanta is they drafted a couple young edge guys, and they're just not there yet. They need to put on a little weight, 10, 15 more pounds. May not be till the end of this year or next year. I think Minnesota's going to win this game 31-28, but I think you take the 4.5 points. I think it's a one-possession game.
And certainly above a key number at three there. Lastly, Lee, always appreciate the time. ParamountSports.com, your place to go. You always got something in the hopper. What's your game of the week this week?
Game of the week is going to be the Lions and Bears. So we're going to see if the Bears can get back off the deck after losing that game late. Lions just never showed up. So they're at home. Do they roll, or can the Bears keep it close? They played some of the teams in the division pretty darn close. So you want to get that game for free, call 800-400-9741. 9-7-4-1, give you that game. Also, I love a game tonight. I love the Arizona-Kansas State game. I'll give you the Bears and Lions and Arizona and Kansas State, both for free. Just be one of the first 10 callers. Call 800-400-9741. Again, the number 800-400-9741 to get both games on me. And 50-unit max wager, biggest play we've had in 3 years. On our 40 to 50 unit plays, we're documented 72-28, one on our 40 unit play last week. You want to get this 50 unit play, check out all the specials. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Great stuff as always. Have a great weekend, Lee Sterling. Appreciate the time, my friend.
Okay, you too, buddy.
Thanks. All right.
Take care. See you, Bert.
We will see you next week. 800-400-9741. Get in on those great deals. Again, game of the week, Bears and the Lions, and a big unit play on tap. ParamountSports.com. That number, 800-400-9741. I am already having a great start to the weekend. The Packers are 1-0 this week. I hope that you and yours have a great weekend as well. We'll talk to you on Monday when the next edition of Overtime rolls back around right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. Be good.